The Today's Homeowner Radio Podcast is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my co-host, Joe Truini. This week, like every week, we've got a lot of information to share with you because you're at the right place for the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. We've got a lot of great information to share with you. During this hour, we're going to talk about a homeowner that's exploring installing vinyl around existing wood posts. Good low maintenance way of going about it, but a few tricks along the way, of course. Also, we're going to share with you a product that can drastically improve the security around your home, something everybody's conscious about these days. One question we have this week that I'm not sure we've ever had is, what can I do to really maintain the look of existing wallpaper? It's a great question. A lot of people are removing wallpaper. Fewer people are putting it up. But if you have some nice wallpaper, how can you keep it looking nice? Also, floor leveling without getting under your house. That's going to be an interesting conversation. And Joe, speaking of interesting, I know you always got a great simple solution for us in a little bit.
Yeah, in a little bit, I'll be sharing an idea on how to improve the soap dispenser at their kitchen sink, right? You have that little thing that dispenses soap, but the container that it comes with, it is usually like a half a pint, maybe a pint, and it's hidden by the sink. It's almost impossible to get to. So I'm going to show you how to get rid of that and muchly improve that soap dispenser.
All right. And I'll also share with you an invention idea I have along those same lines. And I haven't been able to get the invention done, but maybe I'll share it with our audience and someone can make $1 million on it. So that's coming up. $1 million idea coming up in just a little bit.
And Danny, we'll only ask for 90% of all proceeds.
I'll only ask 90%. That's fair enough. Hey, we want to hear from you, and we want to help you with any challenge you may be having with your home. And we make it so easy. All you have to do is, if you like to send an email, we like to get them and like to answer as many of those as we can. And you can send us one right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask or pick up the phone anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and call the very popular Today's Homeowner Hotline. You can do so at 800-946-4420. And Joe, I tell you, the Ask Danny podcast we've been doing, in addition to our regular Today's Homeowner podcast, have been getting a lot of attention. And I thought it would, because it's kind of cool. You know, homeowners would like to be, you know, kind of a fly on the wall when, you know, a couple people are sitting on the tailgate of the truck talking about certain things. And we've done that with a drywall expert, an old friend of mine, Mark Rutherford, dropped by, and we talked a lot about that. Painting tips from the pros, always good. That's another podcast. Tile Pro, we actually spoke with that tile girl. She's known all over the country through social media and had some innovative things to talk about on tile. Coming up, we're going to be talking about a chimney sweep. Aren't they a curious bunch and what they do? And this particular one, been a friend of mine for many, many years, still wears the old-fashioned top hat, the black belt top hat when he shows up. And
that's
pretty cool. So we have that coming up, organizing. And also, we're going to be talking with actually important part of our staff, Mark Ingram, about a project he's working on and what many, many people are working on and considering across the country, building a barn dominium, or as a lot of people call them, barndos. And this is barndos, instead of condos, barndos. Yep. And, you know, it's not for everybody, but, you know, with the pandemic, a lot of people, you know, got to more of a rural lifestyle and moved out of the cities, and they started, you know, as long as you had internet, and, you know, many occupations allow you to work from, you know, remotely wherever you are. And people say, well, let's buy 2 or 3 acres or 5 acres or whatever. And then you start saying, okay, we got to have a house, and then we have to have some kind of storage. Well, why don't we put it all together? Maybe it's an existing barn. That's where it all originated out of. But in Mark's case, he's actually built, having a metal building constructed. and then building the house within that in addition to the other areas. So it's a kind of an interesting phenomenon, just like the tiny houses, you know, that I'm not sure they're quite as popular now as they were. But it's funny how these little threads of different type of building emerge from time to time.
Yeah, and it's actually been around for, is growing in popularity, but it's been around for, you know, probably over a century, as farmers were had these old barns and decided to build a new barn. And then what are they going to do with the old one? Well, they fix it up and started moving into it. And that's what a barn dominium is. It's a home that's built from either a new or previously existing barn, typically a metal barn, right? A metal building. The reason that they choose metal buildings is they go up very, very quickly. And then the entire interior space is open for you to divide up or not divide up as you see fit. They're set on a concrete slab, so they're pretty quick and easy to go up. I mean, that's the big advantage, especially, you know, it could be pretty cost effective if you already have a metal barn that's in relatively good shape.
Yeah, you know, I saw one of these, a version of this several years ago. I saw where someone had a kind of a raised, had pilings,
right,
and then a raised area. It's like a hayloft, and then down below had horses and other animals. Well, I saw that in the hayloft, they gradually remodeled it. They added a little balcony on one side of it. They put in some windows around there, because rarely does it have any windows in it. And they turned it into a living area, rebuilt the stairs to make it safe to go up and down there and all. But I couldn't help but think of those horses still being underneath that barn. And I mean, I know people say it smells like money, but it
doesn't smell like money if you're living directly above them.
That's what I was thinking, especially on a hot summer day. So that's one of the things that I'm not sure I would go along with. And of course, like my friend Mark, he's not going to have animals in there. But it's interesting from his perspective of why he chose that instead of a conventional home. And so we're going to talk with him a little bit about that, because, you know, it is low maintenance. Most of those are very low maintenance when you're talking about metal roof and so forth, in a lot of, let's say, storm prone areas or either fire prone areas. They're a lot safer because they can be built to some very good standards. But what I always what the big question is, and we'll explore this in the Ask Danny podcast, we'll do, is what about resale? I mean, you know, when you put that money in it, yes, you're going to spend less in most cases than you do on a brand new conventional home and storage area. But what about that resale? And so that would be interesting. We may get a few statistics before we do that particular podcast that's coming up in about a week, and just to see how, you know, because that's an important part of it. Everything you do to your home, or almost everything you do to your home, you really want to know that you've got a good chance of getting your money back at some point, if and when you sell, and or at least raising the value of your home. But I'm not sure on the barn does how that works out.
Yeah, I mean, depending on the condition of the building, and, you know, people have to like the look of it, because from the outside, no matter what you do to it, some of it still will end up looking like a metal building that was a barn. The inside can look like any other house. I think if you're building them in an area where they've been an accepted way to build a home, like there are other barn dominiums somewhere in your county or whatever, it'd be, you know, I think selling it would not be an issue. I think it would hold its resale value, especially, like I said, if it's in good shape, as is, I guess is true of any type of house.
Sure, sure. And I hear a lot of people that these are not their primary residence, that they do have a, you know, a small place in the city or in a dense area, and they just need a little room every now and then on the weekends, and to get out and ride the tractor or ride the lawnmower, or maybe you have a pond out there or something, you know, for fishing, which is essential to
essential.
American life. Yeah.
Suddenly, it's sounding more and more attractive as you're talking about that.
So it does work out very, very well. Hey, you know, something I thought about too is we want to encourage you that if you have, you know, if you have a little construction joke, or you have a funny story of maybe something that's happened to you, so many stories that you may have that are funny on things that you've done around your home. Maybe they weren't so funny when it happened, but later on it's fun to tell the story. Why don't you call the hotline right now, 800-946-4420, and share that story with us. We want to be able to have a few stories to share over the next few weeks, and a lot of people have asked us about some of the stories. So, you know, do that right now, or certainly you can send us an email at that, todayshomeowner.com/ask. And, you know, Joe, we very soon will start giving away a few of our 25-year collector item swag.
Really? Like what?
Well, they haven't told me what all they're going to get. We're sure we're
going
to get
they're
some...
They're still going through your garage and seeing what they can take out when you're not home.
Well, there's so many innovative giveaways these days, you
sure.
know, and things that relate to home improvement and so forth. So we're looking at a lot of things, but certainly we're going to have some really cool 25th anniversary mugs and some
right.
tumblers and a few other things like that. But right now, we're going to roll up our sleeves and get down to business with providing you the kind of information that you tuned in for here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. It's heard coast to coast on over 350 fantastic radio stations like this one in Greenwood, Mississippi, WTCD 96.9 FM. Special hello to everybody in that part of the world. And we want to help you out as we do with everybody. And just let us know how we can help you by calling the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420, or send us an email right now. todayshomeowner.com/ask. Let's go to Virginia right now. Doug is on the line. And Doug, how can we help you up there? And how's everything going at your house?
Oh, everything's nice. I mean, cooling off a little bit. So it's a good day.
Oh, yeah, good.
I sit here and I work in the basement and I look out my window and I see the Blue Ridge Mountains.
Wow, that's nice.
Nice.
But I also see some 6x6 treated posts that hold up the porch.
Okay.
The upper part of the porch has vinyl sleeves over top of the posts, and everything's covered, and it's nice and smooth and white. And down below, it's just pressure-treated with all the cracks and gaps and other things. And I was trying to think of different ways to cover that, to make it smooth and bright white. And I thought about using vinyl sleeves, but I've got some diagonal braces at the top of the posts.
Uh-huh.
And I thought bringing the sleeves over top of those diagonals, because you can get the two pieces that snap on.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'd have all these connections between vinyl and vinyl, and
right,
trying to
yeah.
seal that up from water, I think would be problematic. So then I thought maybe I could fill the cracks and stuff with something, and I attempted some water putty to put on there, and it fills in pretty good, but I didn't get back out quick enough to get primer over it, so that's starting to come out because some water got behind it. What do you guys suggest? Because what I want is the smooth look and feel of the vinyl kind of from upstairs on the post below. Is there a way to do that?
Well, you certainly can remove, you know, one post at a time, remove the angle supports that you have that are supporting your deck above, and then put the vinyl around the 6x6 and then around the two braces and then reassemble. But you are right. It's a potential for some problems, especially on the top side of that diagonal, in water getting in there. You'll never know it until it's caused a lot of damage, because it'll just stay wet inside that, and that's never a good situation. But that happens all the time on vinyl components all the way around the outside of your house. So that's where cutting that very tight, caulking it sufficiently to make sure the water doesn't get in there, and I think it would be very successful in doing that. However, looks like you got quite a few of these, five or six, I can see on the pictures at least. And I'll tell you what, I think what I would do is, first step, I would go ahead and paint them. And what I would do is I would, first of all, clean all of the wood. Then I would put a really good primer on that. Just prime every single bit of the treated wood and allow it to dry. Then that's when the water putty, or even better, using An automobile repair epoxy, which, you know, commonly everybody knows it is Bondo.
Right.
And, boy, you can skim that out on all of those inevitable cracks that you have there. And then you can caulk the areas where the diagonals go into the 6x6s and then put two coats of acrylic latex over that. And I'll tell you what, I don't think anyone would know that one's vinyl and one's not. I think it will gloss out well enough. It'll seal it up well enough. It'll be a lot cheaper, and it gets away from any of those awkward joints that you have tying it in.
Right, because I think starting out, I'd probably get the first post done with a nice clean joint. But by the time I got to the last post,
yeah,
I'd be in a hurry and it would be messy looking. I know me.
I was going to say, that sounds like you've watched me do a few projects in it.
I do lots of projects. It's okay. It's like painting. You start out really good, but by the time you get done, you're kind of getting paint everywhere.
but it is a good advantage to prime it first, because that kind of seals up a little bit, so that when you put your Bondo on, or the water putty, either one, it really adheres very well. Then a little bit of light sanding, and put a good coat of quality acrylic latex on it, and I think you're going to be in great shape, and you'll be satisfied with the look of it. Though it might be slightly different than the above, it's still going to complement things very well.
Okay, that sounds good. And do you think is there a preference, the water putty to the Bondo? Which one would?
I would go with Bondo. I've used water putty quite a bit, and it does very well. But this is one where Bondo would probably hold up a little bit better.
Okay, because I'm thinking maybe some moisture might sneak in somehow into the post and pop that water putty out, maybe.
That's what I'd be concerned with, too, that expansion and contraction that can happen there. But, Doug, great project, great thought process you're going through there, and I wish you the best luck. Catch you a pretty day, and go at it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Okay, absolutely. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Okay, you too.
You know, in a situation like that, Joe, when you have those, because he had a good observation there, when you're talking about these angles coming in,
right.
You know, if you pop the angles off and then you put that center post on, okay, that was fairly easy. Then cutting that other, if you don't do it all the time, that can be, think about taking those little aviation shears and trying to go around and cutting that, and it joined together, and, you know, next thing you know, you're headed to the store for yet another case of caulk to make it look a little look a little better.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say the same thing. If he really wanted to put vinyl on those diagonal 4x4 braces, he'd have to remove them, miter cut the ends of the post sleeves, the vinyl post sleeves, and then caulk the heck out of it. I mean, the bottom, I wouldn't caulk, because if water got in there, you'd want it to drain out.
Right.
Where it meets the post. And you wouldn't want it to meet the post where you have a seam, where he's putting in those, that where he's wrapping the 6x6. And plus, all that vinyl is expensive. I don't know if anybody's...
That's right.
Priced any of this PVC, and whether it's post sleeves or cellular PVC trim boards, but they're crazy expensive. But when you put them on, you don't ever have to paint them, sand them, scrape them, and they will never rot.
Yeah, that's one of the things you have to weigh like that. And in the case of Doug, I didn't mention it, but, you know, if he does all of this and then, you know, a couple of years down the road, he still wants the vinyl.
Right.
Well, you're in even better shape now to put the vinyl over that painted surface.
Right. And we didn't mention this, but Bondo, the traditional Bondo for automotive pair, it dries kind of like a pinkish color, but they do make a home, I think it's just called home version or something like that.
Yeah, that's right. Sure do.
It dries more like, I guess it'd be like a pine color, like a very light yellow. So that's what you want to use in that case.
Hey, if you remember, several times over the last few weeks, we've talked about some stenciling work that we've done
on a number
of our television shows. And I'll tell you what, the company that we got those stencils from, we had so many people, both from our TV audience as well as our radio audience, wanted to know more about that. Well, we want to try to help you in any way we can to save a little money. So we were able to go and get a special discount for these stencils just for you, the Today's Homeowner Radio listener. So here's what you need to do. And if you can't write this down, it's okay. Corey, our engineer, will have this on the website so that you can go to todayshomeowner.com, look up this week's show, and it'll be on there. But here's what you need to do. First of all, it's cuttingedgestencils.com. And then you have a code here that you can use, and it's CES Homeowner 20. CES Homeowner 20. You go there and you'll get 20% off any stencils that you order. And go back and take a look at while you're at todayshomeowner.com, put in our search engine there, concrete stenciling, and you'll see several videos on how this is done. I was a skeptic, like most of us are when we start a project on certain things that we haven't done before, but I am absolutely sold that in just one day or less, you can make that front porch, the patio, or in a recent show, a breezeway, just amazing, and we'll give you all the tips and so forth to do it. But to save that 20%, again, cutting-edge stencils, CES Homeowner 20. I don't know if you've seen any of those videos.
I did.
But absolutely amazing what you can do in a short period of time.
Yeah, the one you did, if I remember correctly, was like a herringbone brick pattern. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you only need one or two stencils. You don't need, like if your porch is 8x10, you don't need 8x10 feet of stencil.
Not at all.
You paint one or two, and then you move them and you paint one or two. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to explain on the radio, but like Danny said, go to the website and view that video.
Hey, coming up, we're going to talk about something that you can install at your house that can significantly improve the security around your home. Something that's very important for all of us. That and a whole lot more right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You know, at my house, the garage is our primary entrance, as it is many, many people, so keeping it secure is very important. And I guess the folks at Chamberlain must have heard that from a lot of people, so they designed the Secure View garage door opener powered by MyQ. It has a built-in camera that adds streaming video, recorded events, motion detection, and two-way communication to their MyQ app, so you can see what's happening and ensure that your family and home are safe and secure. In addition to smartphone monitoring and controls, this unit also boasts ultra-quiet operation thanks to its belt drive and soft start and stop motors. Plus, the integrated motion-activated LED lighting brightens high-traffic areas of the garage with 1,000 lumens of light. So, for more information on this Chamberlain belt drive garage door opener with the integrated camera, log on to HomeDepot.com. You know, there's so many things now. Almost every one of the garage door openers that are installed, Joe, as you know, are Wi-Fi enabled. And I was talking to some folks yesterday about that, how, you know, it's just kind of a gadget. You know, it seems like just, you know, why would you need that? And I kind of said that when they were installing it at my house, you know. And two days later, a guy calls me and says, hey, I was the alarm guy that was by. I think I left my drill there in your garage. I need to drop by and get it. And I said, well, I'm 30 minutes away. Wait just a minute. And I went to my app. I opened the garage door and I said, text me when you leave my garage. And he came in, got his tools, texted me. I'm done. Boom. I pushed a button and closed it. And also the inevitable things of, you know, you're leaving on a trip. Like one of my friends that I was talking to yesterday, he said, you know, we left on a trip and, you know, we were scurrying around getting everything. We're going to be gone for a week. We were 40 minutes away. And did you close the garage door? I don't know. Did you? I don't know. Wait just a minute. Picked up his phone, saw that it had been closed for 44 minutes, and so he was good to go. So, gadget, yes, but something very useful, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's the big advantage, I think, of these smart garage door openers, is that you can tell if the door's open or closed. How many times you drive away, it's like, was that open? Our neighbors, I mentioned this on air one time, our neighbors, the house right next door, we're still living in Brooklyn and just coming up on weekends, they drove back to Brooklyn. And he called me, and the door was wide open, and they weren't coming back for a week.
Oh, boy.
So I went, and I cleared out the house, had a great tag sale. And I told
I
told him we sold everything on the first floor.
And did they have a good bottle of wine in there, I bet?
Not anymore.
Hey, let's get back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. Sandy's on the line right now from Bloomington, Illinois. Sandy, welcome to the show. Glad you're on with us.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Our pleasure. Tell us about this wallpaper and some of the ideas you have.
Well, about 5 years ago, I bought a 100-year-old farmhouse, and little by little, we've been renovating the first floor. This wallpaper goes up the stairwell and very high ceilings onto the second floor. I think it's probably from like the 1960s, and I love it. It's actually in pretty good shape, but I would like to know how to clean and maybe preserve it. Got any ideas?
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great question. I'm not sure we've ever gotten that, but it certainly makes sense, because if the paper's in good shape, and years ago, I mean, you still can buy good quality paper. Back then, all of it was pretty thick, pretty durable, and of course, I don't know how much they really used the high vinyl content on that, because the more vinyl you have in the paper or the coating on it, certainly makes it a lot easier to clean. You don't have to be quite as delicate. But Joe, what would you think on this with paper that's this old? You don't want to be too aggressive on it. What would you recommend to Sandy on this?
Yeah, Sandy, most modern wallpapers have either an acrylic or latex covering that makes them washable, in some cases even scrubbable. But I'm guessing your old wallpaper might just be plain paper.
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, without any kind of protective coating. So getting it wet would certainly ruin it. So, you know, you want to be careful with that. And there's several things you can try. You can try just getting a large sponge and just wiping it. If it's mostly dust, you can, of course, vacuum it. You can put a microfiber cloth over a Swiffer-type mop, and that'll help you, you know, go over the surface that's out of reach. And I remember reading once where you can get a gum eraser, like from an art supply store. You can use that very lightly to go over it, especially if you have smaller stains and spots. You know, I don't know if you could do the whole wall with that. But then I thought, well, if you can use that, then you can probably use a magic eraser. Are you familiar with those? Have you ever used one, Sandy?
Oh, yeah. You kind of get it wet, and it's like a sponge.
Right. I think, what is it, Mr. What's it
Mr.
called?
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Clean was the first one to come out with it. And you dampen it and you wring it out. Now, in this case, I would probably first try it dry, because any moisture might affect the wallpaper. So try it dry. If that doesn't work, lightly dampen it, wring out as much water as you can, then go over a surface. But that's the best you can do, because if you start scrubbing this or putting any kind of moisture on it, I'm afraid it's going to start peeling off the wall. And then what?
Sure.
So I hate to have you ruin what seems to be really nice wallpaper. And thanks for sharing that photograph, by the way. It does look really nice.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Absolutely.
Does.
Well, and it's on the ceiling, too. Was that a thing when wallpaper first came out? People just wanted it everywhere?
We were just talking about that. Chelsea just did that in a bathroom, I think, right, Danny?
That's right. Chelsea came up with this, what she called the jewelry box effect in this bathroom, where, you know, you open up a jewelry box, you have, you know, fabric all in there. And it was, you know, kind of a tongue-in-cheek way of looking at that. But it really ended up looking good. But I have heard that in older houses that many people would put wallpaper on the ceilings to cover up some of the small hairline cracks that happen a lot when you're dealing with plaster, which is probably what you have here. So that may be one of the reasons that they put that, is basically just a extra skin to kind of hide some of those cracks.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's definitely lath and plaster back there, and I'm trying to preserve it as much as I can. Well, these are some great ideas. I appreciate that.
And you know, be careful in the stairway. You know, you can put ladders up certain ways, but it's a lot more fun if you just stand on the shoulders of your husband or a friend and just grab their hair with your left hand, and then you can put the sponge in your right hand. I mean, it's just a lot more fun, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I'll send you more pictures of that, too.
Okay, good.
Yeah, please do.
Please do. Okay, well, thanks so much for being a part of the show with us. If we can help you anymore, you know what to do. Give us a call.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, our pleasure.
To hear from someone who's trying to save wallpaper instead of tearing it out.
I know it. Well, a lot of times, you know, I think she mentioned something there that was key, and that is stairwell, because, you know, you with a stairway like that, you're usually blocked from the sun.
Right.
Because if you have, you know, because it's usually more towards the center, maybe you don't have direct sun on it. But anytime you have any kind of wallpaper, regardless how old it is, if you've got that direct sun in there bearing down on it every day, it's going to fade and start, you know, looking a little bit different. That's pretty much inevitable. Hey, coming up here on Today's Homeowner Radio, we're going to talk about some different ways of kind of leveling out a floor that may be a little unlevel. All of that and a lot more right here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Hey, do you get our weekly newsletter, our e-newsletter? Well, you need to. It's got some great information each and every week. And all you have to do to get it free and get it sent right to your inbox each week is go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletters. Right back to our Today's Homeowner hotline. We'd love to hear from you. 800-946-4420. Richard is online with us here from North Carolina. Richard, welcome to the show, and tell us how we can help you out around your home.
Well, Danny and Joe, I could really use your help. We have a house that was built in 1935, and it has been a while since it's had any TLC. We've been attempting to level up the subfloor. What I tried to do is take some 2x4s on their edge and put it on top of the subfloor at an angle to make up for what used to be, I guess, a porch, sloping porch. I had kind of mixed results with that. I'm not sure what the best thing to do. I really don't want to tear out the whole subfloor and start all over again. That's way more work than I'm willing to do.
Sure. No, I don't blame you. Now, the sloping or the unlevel areas that you're working on, so this, you mentioned it used to be a porch, which is a very common thing that we've done many, many times. The porch has a slight grade on it, and a lot of times people put flooring right over it, and you realize it's unlevel. Is that the situation, or do you suspect any settling in the house?
That's the where the old porch was. There's other areas in the house where there might be some settling. You know, where like we have some low places and high places on the floor.
Sure, yeah.
The main areas where there used to be a porch, it drops off substantially.
The challenge on a lot of those is primarily it would slope from the inside of the house to the outside where it used to be the outside outside wall. But the challenge is if it also is unlevel left to right. You know, if the edge of the porch is level, but the way it progresses to the inside of the house is unlevel, that actually is not that hard to do. Certainly always recommend a table saw in that situation to rip what we call the skids or the sleepers, you know, that would graduate from nothing to 1 inch or inch and a half, whatever that amount is. And when you have something like that, to put down a vapor barrier and then to put these on 16-inch centers and screw them down, glue them down, all of that, then you got a perfectly good level floor that you can put the 3/4-inch plywood over that, and it's good. It's good to go. I've done it 100 times. If there's any settling, if it's a result of settling, you're going to have to address any of that.
Okay, I see what you mean. And I do have a table saw. That's good.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the string is your friend. To be able to pull that string and put a string level on it and work it that way can make a big difference. Joe, I know with a lot of the older homes you've dealt with, you've had to have dealt with this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Danny's right. I mean, you want to first make sure it's not continuing to settle, because if you level this off, it'll still be out of level at some point. But Richard, what type of floor are you planning on putting down over this once you level it up? Have you decided?
Luxury vinyl planking.
Oh, good. Because what I was going to suggest is they make a self-leveling floor resurfacer that you can buy. It's basically like cement, really thin cement, thin viscosity cement.
Yes.
Quikrete makes a couple of them. They make a fast-setting one, and they make a regular one, which I guess doesn't set quite as fast. And what you do is you just pour this out. It's called a floor topping underlayment, something like that. You just pour it out. There's no troweling work. You know, if you mix it to directions, and that would level up a lot pretty quickly. It would go from zero to about whatever you have, an inch, inch and a half out of level. And then once that cures, then you just go right over it with your vinyl. You might have to put down an underlayment or something like that, depending on the manufacturer, but usually you can put the vinyl down right on top of that. So go to Quikrete and check out their self-leveling floor resurfers.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Yeah. Good luck.
Okay, thanks so much for being with us, and have a great weekend. Joe, the caller we had a little earlier, Sandy, had mentioned something off the air there that actually she sent us an email I wanted to share with you. She says, I love your show, and I love seeing the Simple Solution segment each week, and I really appreciate how you empower viewers. Please tell Danny I have a construction joke, but I'm still working on it. You get it? That's a dad joke. You can't tell dad jokes unless you're a dad.
She's not working on the joke. That is the joke.
The joke is I'm still working on it. How about that? Well, we love all kinds
of. Thank you, Sandy.
That's right, Sandy. We love all kinds of jokes and comments, and we always. That's why we always encourage you that if you're driving down the road and you're thinking of something, hey, share it with us. Share us, a comment on something that you liked in the show, something you'd like to see in the show, or maybe you have a construction dad joke you want to share. Well, we'll share it with all of our listeners. We all appreciate those kind of corny jokes every now and then, and you can share it with us by going to the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420, or send us an email, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Coming up next, our simple solution time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Custom Building Products, the leader in flooring preparation products and tile and stone installation systems.
What's always amazing each week when we're with you here on Today's Homeowner Radio, just how fast things go by. We how it is, though. You start talking and you're having a lot of fun, and the time goes by very, very quickly. And that brings us up to our simple solution. It's time for that. Joe, what do you have for us?
All right, Danny, if you're lucky enough to have a soap dispenser on your kitchen sink, you know how invaluable those are, except they have one little drawback in that the little bottle that's underneath the countertop only holds about a pint of soap. So you're continuously running out and you have to fill it from the top because it's hard to get up under the sink to unscrew this and fill it. And then you overfill it and it spills out all over. So here's how to eliminate all of that. Remove the nozzle part, just pull it right out from the top of the dispenser, and you'll see a fill tube hanging down, and that's what goes into the soap, right? So what you want to do is pull that off and get a 1/4-inch diameter tubing. You can buy them in a roll, or sometimes hardware stores or home centers will sell them in bulk. And you want maybe like a 3-foot-long piece, and you'll cut it to fit. But what you do is you jam one end of the nozzle onto this tube, feed it through the hole, and you'll have this long tube hanging inside the cabinet. And you can take that and put it right into a giant jug of soap. Wow. I buy them at like one of those like Costco, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what they are.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
half a gallon or more. And you just put it right in there. And what I did is I then looped a piece of string on it. I put a screw on the inside of the cabinet. And I just sort of suspended it so it's not sitting on the floor of the cabinet because it ends up getting knocked around. Mm-hmm. And now if you're running out of soap, you can easily tell by just looking inside. But we did that, and I don't think I refilled it for, I don't know, it must have taken almost a year or 9 months. I don't know. It was a long time. And so that's a simple solution. If you go to todayshomeowner.com/simple-solutions and type that into the search engine, you'll find it. You'll find a video showing exactly how to do that.
Yeah, I remember you when you first mentioned that a little while back. Boy, so many people started doing that because immediately when you say that about the small container underneath there, people can relate to how often that you have to change that out. Okay, yeah. So here's my $1 million invention now.
Yes,
I'm going to share with someone that's listening. They'll be able to take this idea and make lots and lots of money for us all, of course. So, you talk about a soap. It's very popular to have the pump soap. So you got a pump soap here sitting on your counter at your kitchen, and then you have a roll of paper towels either there on a vertical roll, which is what we use a lot, or tucked underneath the countertop or whatever.
Right.
Okay. What if you took that vertical roll and you turn that into a soap dispenser, and you have the nozzle that extends out beyond the paper towel roll. Then you push the top of it for your soap, you wash your hands, you pull that, and you don't have as much clutter on your countertop. And then you can have, maybe the spout that comes out could be a swan. It could be it could be a raccoon. It could be, a thematic type thing.
Could be a Danny Lipford bobblehead.
Yeah, a bobblehead. You could have me, and the soap comes out of my nose. So you got the vision there. So somebody's going to take that and run with it. And I hope when you get your first prototype. Yeah. My wife actually came up with that, and we were kidding around about doing it. And a buddy of mine has many inventions. And so I just kind of casually mention it to him. The next day, he sends me back the schematic and this patent number of someone that's already done something similar.
Really?
I mean, it was a mechanical drawing. I looked at it and turned it around, upside, like, what in the world is this? So it's got
I thought I was going to see you on Shark Tank any day.
Who knows? Hey, real quick, I want to mention to you what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show this weekend. We call it Garage Organization, and everybody could use a little bit of this, but we've got this great little workbench that we built, but under it are six different containers or totes that slide right out. Very easy way of consolidating some of those things you have in your garage. You need to check this out. Also, how to really reorganize and what you can, the secret to a garage organization, get as much off the floor as you can. That pretty much wraps up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lifford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks a lot for spending some time with us this week on Today's Homeowner Radio.